Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Precise Calculations. Traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops. Without precise calculations, you could fly right through a star and bounce too close to a supernova. And that would end your smooth trip real quick, wouldn't it? If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, tell your friends. And without further ado, here's the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pado Unlimited. Today is 1 week before set four releases. Jump to light speed, and I am excitedly joined by, well, I don't know if they're excited, but I'm joined by Corey and Rob, as usual. How are you guys doing?
Ahoy.
Hello there.
Okay. Hey. I'm doing great. This is pre-release week, so pre-release. So much to be excited for.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah, Gil's not excited, but we're excited.
Yeah. I'm getting all my...
Cards are coming.
Getting all my stuff next week like a noob, so that's severely unfortunate, but I guess before we go into like the major conversation and all the other topics, I just wanted to give one shout out to a winner of the last, where is it, I have to get the information, but the winner of the pack from last week, I can't remember off the top of my head, but let me just get the video content. It is...
Drum roll.
Yep. I'm so bad at this.
doing it live.
Doing it live. It is Super Bowler 18. Super Bowl 18.
Congrats.
I'll send you some... I'll send you a message if you're not listening to this. But congratulations for the winning the pack. That's fantastic. I'm always happy to give away product. And promise me that if you are listening and you watch this and you do open something fantastic... send me a picture so we can share with the world.
And Gil can be sad about his life.
Yeah, I know, right? So sad. And then I think the only thing I want to talk about, logistically speaking, is that, you know, the last video I posted the other day really blew up. Actually, it was a market prediction for the serialized cards, and my math was a little messed up. So don't get.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm gonna get some flack from that. I already did. Like
hate.
But I seriously think that the prices I shared there are gonna be they're gonna be like the baseline, like $300 is gonna
those prices. There's some other prices that were quite significantly higher.
Okay, all right. So regale the audience, Corey, of what you might disagree with in my analysis.
The thing is, like, I watched the video too. It's great that you guys should check it out because it's interesting to hear perspectives. But you were comparing prices for serialized cards to Magic: The Gathering.
Yes, I was.
The thing is, Magic: Gathering has been around for 30 years and it's not going anywhere, right? We know for sure Magic is going to be around, and it is probably one of two, if not maybe three, but it is the number one card game where you can make money just by collecting and pulling hit cards. You can absolutely do that with Magic. No other card game is going to do that for you, because just because something's serialized doesn't mean it's going to have value if nobody cares about it, right? So that's the thing is, I am super excited for the Carbonite packs and the serialized cards personally, but is the overall fandom and things like that, are we selling out of these boxes in minutes like Final Fantasy and Spider-Man did? I don't know.
Okay. No. I think that's a completely fair assessment. And just as not a rebuttal, but as the reasoning why I chose Magic as a comparison is because there's literally like no other card game out there that really does serialized cards in a fashion where there's measurable like data that you can pull, that you can actually get.
Right.
Pokemon doesn't really do it, right? Yu-Gi-Oh! I think they did it like a little bit, but like seriously, Magic is the only like comparable price point like that I could have. And then first of all, you're 100% right. But I guess to elaborate on the analysis, it was also based on that plus cross-referencing the elite card, not elite cards in terms of play, but like the rarest cards for the set so far, which are either the judge cards and or the PQ cards, because those are actually the PQ champion cards are the most limited cards that are out there, and they are selling for like 300. Right, and those are like unplayable cards. Like no one's playing Dr. Evazan.
Some of them you're never throwing in the deck for sure.
So when I compare it, like that's the bottom price. I was like, those cards suck. Some of them are, you know, they're not really good. They're still going for $300. Mm-hmm. There's only like 40 Dr. FSNs, and there's like maybe 140 Tranquility Championships.
Yeah.
And those are going for $300. I just think that the spike is going to be like 380. Like, I think, mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be someone out there that's going to buy a card for a prestige, like number one, like a Millennium Falcon for like, if it even hits the market, for thousands of dollars. And I'm not saying that.
I can definitely see $1,000. I can see that for sure. Beyond that is going to be difficult. But again, there's people out there that will spend that money. And if they want to get the set of like 1, 2, 3 or something, that will certainly drive up prices for certain numbers individually. But I mean, I would love to see a card hit $3,000. That would be amazing. I think that $1,000 is probably the top end right now. For now.
For sure. I think you've mentioned the video. Realistically, it's probably going to be around $1,000. But I, you know, to hedge my bets, you gotta, you know, I think $3,000 was.
Have something spicy, Gil. Yeah.
If we look at back at Boba showcases, they were getting up there, right?
That was and that's just like a regular showcase. You know what I mean? Right. No, so hype is real. Hype is real in this world, and people will spend exorbitant amount of money for like these cards.
Like I said, if you want those sets of whatever number you want, if you have like a special number that's significant to you, I could see it. You know, people searching out for those.
Yeah. So, Rob, are you going to spend $1,000 on a card?
I'm just gonna be happy if I can pull a playset of the prestige devastators or get close to it and then maybe only have to buy one.
Like the foil ones or like
just the regular ones. Like I don't need the serialized.
So if I get devastators and you get like Chimera's ghosts or Sabine's masterpieces, I'll trade.
We'll talk.
We'll do it some time. That's what it's all about. Another logistical thing before we go on to the main topic. So everyone who's listening, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your comments and your reviews. You know, it's all very helpful to me and to us as the podcast to be able to provide a better, I guess, product. I don't even know if that's the right word. Entertainment. For you all out there, especially, you know, people who are like listening at odd hours of the day or are overseas folks, like we want to be able to provide that to you. So I really appreciate it. So shout out to Starkiller for giving us a review on, with some really helpful feedback, on, I think it was Apple. One of the review sites gave it to us. So, you know, one of the things we just did before this podcast was we got Nitro on Discord. So hopefully I'm hoping that the quality of this is actually better. I got a light, so like now I don't look like I'm dying from the side.
I have a mic coming.
You have a mic coming. Yeah. Hey man. Appreciate the effort, you know. That's what we do. And then last thing, so also the last pot, we broke 150 subs on Facebook. On YouTube. So we're well on our way to that 500 mark, which means, again, as a reminder, especially if you're a new person to this podcast and you made it all the way to minute, I don't know, 7 or 8, we're going to raffle off a 2024 convention exclusive pack. Unopened. It's underneath my desk in a box, like a box within a box, so it's safe and secure, waiting for you to be picked up. But it's going to be a raffle at 500 subs. And obviously, I'm still thinking of a good way to get the OGs in there. I have to like just create like a form or something. And I'll put that in the notes or something so that people can like apply and they'll get like 100 tickets. Something crazy, you know, for being like the first couple people to join. But yeah, anyways, fun stuff like that. We might also raffle off some packs, more packs in the future. Potentially carbonite ones or of some sort. So we'll see what happens. So stay tuned as we figure out the logistics for that. Okay. So some big news came out today at 2 p.m. Kind of big news. I don't know if everyone thinks.
Interesting news, I'd say.
I think people expected more. They got less. Yeah. It's all about the meta. Rob, you were just reading some of it. So what is anything stick out to you in regards to the news we got from FFG today?
I mean, it was interesting. I don't think there was anything like crazy spicy. I think people were expecting probably like either a tech or like tech DJ Han, some level of band there, which mm-hmm. they didn't get. They basically said they want to examine the meta after Jump to Lightspeed drops. So like, aside from that, you know, it was pretty quiet. You know, they're looking at Boba, but not right away. They wanted to give it some time off. So that's interesting. I think the coolest thing was they said their PQs, since PQ season has wrapped up, there were 30 different leaders in all of the top eights, you know, were represented. There were nine regulars, or no, sorry, it was 30 different winners, and there were nine regulars in the top eights that they saw, and it was three from each set too, which was kind of interesting. So it was Han, Sabine, Pal, Cad, Kira, and who's the other
Bosk.
One? Bosk, yeah.
Oh, Bosk.
Yeah, and then Django, Anakin, and Quinlan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were the common themes, but the fact that it's three from each means, you know, the leaders were in pretty good shape. You know, I'm sure we're going to see a rise in Django. There's some great guy, you know, just part of what I was talking about before this, but I've been thinking about just like, what's the balance going to be? You know, Devastators are going to get in there, but what else is going to make the cut? You know, Tarkin looks really good. Obviously, Planetary Bombardment, IG-800 is going to be a solid four drop. Like there's so many good cards coming for this deck.
IG 2000? Or you meant 88, I guess, and then you said 800. Yeah, okay. I was like, IG.
What's the difference?
IG 800. Who's that?
He's like the four cost 3/4 that pings three thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's an amazing four drop for Django specifically.
For Django specifically, it's amazing. And like, you know, there's so much tech coming with this. With this deck that I just really want to kind of try out a couple different angles with it, you know. But I was also, I don't want to jump into like all meta all the time. Hold on. So
well, we'll talk
before we get into that.
Let's swap over to Corey. Hey, so Corey, anything with you that stuck out with the news today?
Well, this is the first time they're doing erratas to cards, so they're not changing any like functionality on cards. They're just clarifying making sure people understand what the cards are supposed to be doing, they can't reprint, or they don't want to reprint and change things. Like on paper games like this, it's hard to go back and change things around like that. Yeah. But you can go back and look up certain cards. So for instance, like Migs Mayfield is a card that pings damage, but it also when you discard a card, but now it's being clarified. It's whenever anyone discards a card, your opponent or yourself discards a card, you can ping for two.
Yeah.
Then Bo-Katan was one where they said like when you attack with a Mandalorian, you get to attack. It's like not at the same time, it's after. So you ping for one and then you can ping again. So you could hit the same target.
Yeah,
it's two separate instances.
So just clarifying some things because some of the cards may not have been as... Like we talked about interpretation of the card text can be different for different people. So they want to make sure everyone's on the same page. So that's cool. I like that because, you know, it makes it, you know, we're all on the same page. There.
Yeah, clarity. I know. I agree. And okay. So for newer players like me, I guess I want to just define errata because it sounds like a sexy word. I guess I'll say errata. It's clarification text, right? That's provided by the creator of the game or whatever that, like essentially like it's clarifying instructions, right? Is that what it is? So that like when a card is played in the future, you essentially have to kind of like memorize these new things, right? Like it's not because they're not reprinting it. So you have to pay attention to these updates for this specific scenario, it's FFG. You have to look at these updates because someone might play a card in front of you at a game that had an errata, which clarified the text, and you need to be aware of those rules. So this is different from changes to comprehensive rules, because comprehensive rules are not, it's not errata, they're physically actually changing the rule book. Right? Right. Which I think, which they did, which they did too. Also, they did actually change.
They did update it with their set. I think they, they went through that. But yeah, errata. So you're going to want to know the cards that are getting errata to them. And the list looks like it's the Assault AT-AT, Bo-Katan, the Megs Mayfield, like I mentioned, Unrefusable Offer. I have the High Ground, Slymore, and Wingman Vector 3.
Oh, they got
cards
one
so far.
Yeah, they
errata,
got
errata from the new set. That's wild. Yep. And so do you think, do either of you guys think that some of this errata, well, no, it's not game breaking because it was already part of the game. It's just clear.
Again,
right?
I think, it's the functionality is the same. It's more clarification driven, so, I think.
And the nice thing is it only hit like six or seven cards. The only one that
seven cards. Yep.
Seven cards. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I think we're going to see Wingman Victor 3 for sure. So that's one you're probably going to want to know. But the rest of these, not that they're not played, but they're not as going to, I don't think they're going to be as prevalent.
Yeah. I do have a question. So people, you kind of mentioned that people were, I kind of mentioned that people were expecting something to happen. And then you kind of elaborated, Rob, with the DJ Tech combo. I guess your opinion, like, do you feel like that was a good or bad move from FFG to not deal with that combination or around that?
So I'm sort of mixed. We see a lot of it. I think they actually had a stat that Han was like a 30% winner when he got to the top eight, something along those lines. And part of it is predicated on that. The power of that combo, because you know, if you get the right draw and your opponent's not able to respond to it, they you know, you basically steal a resource, right? Steal and destroy a resource. So I think, you know, while that can be a little bit negative, there was enough counterplay to it that I think it's not the end of the world, and I'm more okay with a slow reaction than a sort of one where you swing too hard and then you end up really crippling something that didn't need to be crippled that badly. Not to say that Han, specifically Yellow Han, doesn't have any other options. They definitely do. But it's, you know, it's one of the big tools that your opponent has to play around. And I do think it's part of the strength of that deck, right? It's like you kind of can bluff it even if you don't do it. You can show you have it, and it causes your opponent to slow down and have to deal with something out on the board that, you know, they're expecting to come out. And I don't know if the deck keeps up if you're just like, well, if I can just ignore that threat, then I just, you know, like if I'm playing an aggro race, I don't have to like hold cards to try and see what they play. I can just keep going.
Yeah.
I might go faster.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think those are all fair points. How about you, Corey?
I pretty much agree. I don't think you want to start removing cards here without without giving it time giving it time to allow the players to figure things out. Something comes out that's really strong, and for a while, like Spark of Rebellion, like the meta changed so much within that first set. Like by the time when we started to where we ended, it was completely different. And just because something seems strong right now, with new cards, with new sets, that's going to change. It's going to, obviously, they talk about it in, and I would recommend reading the article they put out on the meta and how they approached everything. And they are changing their approach to the meta a little bit, because every set, they're going to want to make a little bit better, you know, potentially, like stronger, because eventually, you know, if you don't have cards that are exciting, you're not going to want to play the game, right? So
yeah,
you got to figure out how to make new and exciting cards without like overstatting them, but make them desirable to play. And so DJ, I don't think is a card that is game breaking, because you know, when you're playing Han's really the only deck that plays it, right? Yeah. So like when you play Han, you know, you have to deal with it. And just like with Jango, I know I have to deal with triple dark raids, and I have to deal with the new Devastator is probably going to be in that deck. It's like, you know, certain cards are going to be in certain decks. Yeah. And you just need to be able to prepare for it. So I don't have any problem with it, because it's like we said, you know, earlier, there's a ton of leaders that made top 10s or top 8s and won PQs that wasn't Han.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's okay that they didn't do anything with that interaction, because at the end of the day, it's a very specific interaction that people have learned how to play around, and people have built decks specifically to beat it, and have actually succeeded winning PQs in that sense too. So that not only deal with DJ, the Han Yellows, but also can attack widely into the meta, right? Like, prime example is who I interviewed a couple weeks ago, Zach. From,
Shout out
to Zach, who won the PQ with a Cad Green deck. Not even ECL, just Cad Green. He built it specifically to beat Han, but it was so good into other decks that he just took a PQ. You know, he only worked on that for like 2 weeks. So, I mean, you know, that's just an example of how wide the meta can become. We'll see. Someone mentioned the other day in one of the team chats that they think that the ban list is going to change right before Worlds, like next year, set 1, 2, 3 rotates out, they're gonna allow everyone to play Boba again for like one season.
Well, that's the interesting thing they did mention on stream, is that, you know, Boba leader, just because he's banned now does not mean he's gonna be banned forever.
Yeah,
because of this, that changes, and because of different cards that are coming into play. And yeah, I think you alluded or mentioned it before, but with set 5 Legend of the Force, they could revisit Boba, and he may be another leader that comes back into play. And so just because a card gets banned for a certain season or session, like a period of time, does not mean that they're going to be gone forever. And so I appreciate them continually to look at the game and to look at the cards and try to make it as fun for everyone as possible, instead of saying, oh, whatever, we've made the perfect game.
Banned, not exiled for eternity. Okay. So
making those Boba Showcase prices skyrocket.
Oh my god, just be able to showcase, which I'm trying to get, I think I can get a trade to do that, but it's contingent on me getting my Jump to Lightspeed boxes on time, and so I hope I get them next week. I hope I don't have to wait until the end of March. Okay, so we're running up all close on time, so the last topic I'll talk about, and I think, Rob, you're kind of going in this direction, is meta predictions. For set 4, at least initially. Corey and I did a tier list on Sunday, so we have our own opinions and grades on what at least we think set 4 leaders are going to be. But we didn't consider a wider application, like, across everyone else. We like did it agnostic, just only to the set specifically. So, let's do some quick predictions. Maybe pick one or two leaders that you think that are going to be impactful into the meta and actually might see some play. I'll go first, because I guess I brought it up to give you guys some time to think. Like ambushing you with this, and I'll play the Sentinel card, so I'll stand in front. I think, and you know me, I'm all wild cardy. I think Asajj Ventress is going to see a lot of play. I think she's going to make them. I think she's going to make some stuff happen.
This is your Obi from set 3.
This is my Obi from set 3.
Are you talking the new Asajj or the old Asajj?
No, new Asajj.
New Asajj. Okay, I'm just Asajj. Making sure, because there are two of them, and we're talking about Asajj. Broad scope here.
So Asajj 4.
Better fifth brother is going to be the.
She does some wonky stuff, and she's a blue. She's blue villainy, which is already. Good. That's a good color to be in for villainy, right? And you play with her with I'm just saying, these are like high level things. I haven't really dug deep, but like she will always essentially have a ability to turn on Tarkintown whenever she wants. Like you can pass, she'll do it.
The best thing about her leader power is that it costs nothing. As long as you have a unit on board, you can do it. So. Yeah. You're almost always pinging unless you have nothing on the board.
Yeah,
so.
Which is great. And I don't necessarily think like grit combos are going to come out. But what this does do is it makes it much more difficult for you to manage if people decide to go really strong into indirect damage. Because she's just throwing out an extra one damage, you know, all the time to your units. I think she still comes out a little late at 6, so we'll have to figure it out. But if it's not this set, maybe next set, she like really, you know, goes big because she's a force pilot that can do a lot of other stuff and has some interesting synergies. So I think, I don't know if she's going to be like a winner, but I feel like she has the potential to be a good competitor. And I say this because if you think about like Cad, Jango, Quinlan, like all these like pingers that or things that do stuff with interact with ping for free is just good, I think. So that's
trading
that's,
up that, essentially.
Yeah, you have to trade up, and then if you get throw in grit, boom. Like now you're also making yourself stronger, and they have to deal with you. You know, removal package, all that stuff. So that's my bold prediction.
I can see it. I think I will say she's my favorite showcase this set.
She is my favorite showcase.
She's a good looking showcase. Yeah. Wait, not better than the zombie Luke?
Actually, I do really like the Poe Dameron
one. I mean, that the Poe Dameron is cool, but like zombie Luke one, you gotta have it just so you can like say like I have and play it. Just so... like this is the worst one ever. Like they hit him so dirty.
All right, I took a lot of time, so I'll move over. How about Corey? And then we'll finish with Rob because I know this was his topic.
All right, I'll go one like way off out of in left field, and I'm gonna say the Mandalorian. I think with all these upgrades that have been like. Coming out, I think the Mandalorian could show some we have shown some love this set, so he could show up here in some competitive scenes. And I'm excited to see if someone can make him viable because he's all about them upgrades. So like,
I mean,
this is his set.
You're if definitely there's
one
slower.
Set for him. He's getting a lot of tools and utility there. So
yeah, that's a you know what that's a wild card. I actually would not have expected you to say that, but that makes a lot of sense because he just there's so many things you could just exhaust things. Boom, 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 boom. So it's really slow down the game. Wow.
Yellow man,
he's all about Django. Yellow. he'll be heroic side Django, I think.
Yeah, Django's still better, but
yeah. All right, Rob, how about you, man?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is Piet. Piet's got a lot of strength. I think you're going to see him with TDR, and he's gonna blow some people out because he's going to get some stuff out real early that you don't want to see real early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's settled on a deck yet, but I'll take this is a more generic take, but I do think we're going to see a rise in
Skywalker.
No,
Palpatine.
I think we're going to see a rise in control. I know this is going to be a lot of fast
really
decks. I do because like think about it. We've got.
I am, and I don't agree at all.
We've got so much big early stuff coming out that you know, specifically things like Merciless Contest and Power of the Dark Side are going to go way, way up in value. So it gives you the ability to deal with stuff early. I think you know, Bossk Blue is gonna be a staple. I think we're going to see a lot of him. Initially I think it's going to swing aggro, but then we're gonna see that pushback, and it's going to come from a weird. I think it's going to come from a weird angle. I think it's going to come from control.
You know what? I am actually with you, and my reasoning is that new Django is so freaking good, and it shuts down Han Yellow like completely. Like Han Yellow, maybe I just haven't seen the play against like really good people, but like, dude, especially with all the new tools, it just you play that IG 800. Well, I was kidding. IG 2000. IG 2000. And when he's on the flip and you just wipe the entire side of the board from like doing anything.
Yep.
You know, you're not Sabine's not winning. You're shutting down Han potentially. You're shutting down a lot of aggro decks because of that, which then means that people have to somehow find answers to Django. And because you're not playing, again, I'm going down this rabbit hole, because you're not playing Han Yellow, Han Yellow is, to me, the biggest reason why hard control has not been played, like, at all, because it just loses, auto-loses to, like, Han. Even a bad Han player will, like, beat any hard control, a great hard control player. And so I'm actually with you, Rob. I think that's actually a very astute assessment. We'll see how you know we did this last.
I'm on the other side there, real quick. Like, just real quick. You're gonna be racing. Like jump to light speeds. This set is all about racing, and you need to race faster than the other person. It seems that's initially. I'm like short sighted here. Got the blinders on with all the all these pilots and upgrades, but it just seems to me like we're gonna be. Go fast, go fast, go fast.
It's going to be aggro city at first. It always is. But I'm hear you. I hear you both. I think you're actually kind of both right. But at the end of it, Saj is going to reign supreme.
All dollars on Saj.
Okay.
Let's go. I need that showcase.
I know. I got that showcase too because it looks really good. All right, guys.
I do agree. I think Saj will be cool. So
well,
I'm excited.
Thank you for your time. I actually got to run to a work meeting at 9 p.m., which is pretty wild. So thank you for joining me this evening. Thank you for the fun conversation. To everyone else out there, thank you if you're a new sub, if you're an old sub. We always really appreciate you. And until next time, may the force be with you.